Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha virya karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastumavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivas hari gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. So Sanjaya has given the messages of Yudhishthira and Arjuna. Bhishma stood up to speak to point out, I'll tell you a story. And he tells the story about Narayan Rishi, how they defeated all the demons. The demigods go to Brahma to ask for help. That means they can't defeat the demons in this case. Narayan Rishi comes with them. They defeat the demons. These two are now Krishna and Arjuna, and they're going to be at this battle. So you have to beware. Duryodhana thinks, no, but the demons told me they'll empower all of my warriors and all these great personalities. But what they forget is Narayan Rishi are there, and they always defeat. Demigods may get defeated. Narayan Rishi never get defeated. But he's a fool, so he can't see this. And then Karna, of course, stands up when he feels he gets insulted and makes himself the center of all things, and he's the victim, and I'm only trying to help, and all that kind of thing. Bhishma then, instead of speaking to Duryodhana, speaks to the king, because it's no use speaking to the son and Karna and So, encouraged by his empty promises, Duryodhana is ready to face Arjuna in battle, right? Because he's the empty promises of Karna. Karna makes these promises, but Karna has already been defeated by Arjuna, directly twice. Then the Gandharvas, they defeated him. And then Arjuna alone defeated the Gandharvas. Duryodhana is ready to face Arjuna in battle. Your weak-brained son, depending upon Karna, has insulted the Pandavas, right? Because his whole thing is, I have Karna, so therefore I will win, right? And then he's also saying Bhishma, and that will be empowered by the demons, so then, of course, he'll be fighting very nicely and all that. What can this vain man achieve that is even approaching what Arjuna has achieved? Means literally nothing. What could he do when Arjuna killed his brother in the fight against the Matsyas? Right, because when they came to, at Varnavata, Karna's brother came out and Arjuna killed him. Right? He would have killed Karna and Duryodhana also, but it was already, Bhima already, how you say, Bhima already vowed he would kill Duryodhana and all that, and then, kind of things wound up, so then he let him go. Because if there's this war, then he said he'll kill them. But at this point, then it wasn't, he had made no vow about. What did he do when the Gandharvas carried away your son? Yet he roars like a bull in the assembly. Right? So these are straightforward points. Ignorant of virtue and profit, he simply speaks whatever comes to his mind. Right? So then he's just working on a self-centered thing, whatever he feels. He's not working on using his intelligence, logic, looking at the actual political situation, looking at that, the power of what's there, looking at the reality of what's there. It's just, no, he has feelings, and so therefore. Bhishma sat down. Karna kept his head down and said nothing. Bhishma's words cut him deeply. He longed for the chance to prove him wrong. The sooner he could face Arjuna in battle, the better, because he thinks that if I face him in battle, that he was already defeated twice in battle just, 2 months before. Short memory. It would be different next time. Indra's Shakti weapon would settle the dispute once and for all. But what he doesn't understand also, Indra's Shakti weapon is there, but how you say? Arjuna also has all these divine weapons. Why had he not had it with him at Varnavata? Somehow, it had not occurred to him to bring that weapon because he wasn't expecting Arjuna then. He had not been expecting to meet Arjuna. Well, he would not make that same mistake again. Then Bhishma would be silenced, because his whole thing is just to establish his. Of course, Kshatriyas then, they do have their prowess, but they're establishing their prowess because then they can rule the people nicely. Here, he just wants to establish his prowess for his own satisfaction, and that's it. And not, it's nothing to do with benefiting the people. Just like Duryodhana wants the kingdom, wants the world not to benefit the people, just to have it. Drona had listened carefully to everything that had been said. Seeing his opportunity, he rose to speak. Facing Dhritarashtra, the old martial preceptor said, "Take heed of Bhishma's words and follow his advice, O king. You should not let yourself be guided by those who covet wealth and are slaves to desire. Peace with the Pandavas is without doubt the best course." Right? They're just speaking proper politic here, that if you don't follow this, we're all destroyed. It means, you know, yes, if you go to war, we'll all support the crown, and so we'll be there fighting. But the point is there'll be nothing left. Right? You know, it's going to be Dhritarashtra and a white cane going around in the street begging. Because there'll be nothing left. There'll be no one to support him, no one to protect him. Other kings may come in and take over. And then he's done. Right? Like that. Peace with the Pandavas is without doubt the best course. What Arjuna has submitted to us through Sanjaya will surely come to pass if we fight. In all the three worlds, no one wields a bow like him. Right? He knows he's his teacher. You know, so he knows he's good, but, you know. Drona, Bhishma, and Vidura all looked expectantly at Dhritarashtra, but the old king remained silent. Ignoring their advice, he asked Sanjaya to repeat what the other Pandavas had said. What did the large-minded Yudhishthira say when he heard that we had amassed a large, huge army? Who is looking up to him for orders, and who is trying to dissuade him from war? What is that virtuous one, wronged by my wicked sons, now planning? Notice when he speaks, he talks about the glories of the Pandavas and all that, and then here he said his wicked-minded son. He knows what things are, what they are in reality, but the difficulty, he's just so attached to his son. That's the problem. He's just overwhelmed by this attachment. Though he knows things as that, he knows that whatever's being said by everyone, this is 100% right. But he's just hoping, but maybe Providence will just do it, it'll just come out a different way. Maybe, you know. Sanjaya, who had been seated while others had been speaking, came again to the center of the assembly, right? Because otherwise if he stands there, then what's the point? So he goes to sit on the side, lets others take the center stage. And then when they're finished, when he's asked again, then he'll get up, come up, speak and everything like that, and then, you know, move back. All the Panchalas now look up to Yudhishthira, as well as the Matsyas and Kekayas. All those tribes, down to the last herdsmen, are ready to do his bidding. Clad in a coat of mail, he sits amid their chieftains like Indra amid the gods. Tell me in detail more about Yudhishthira's forces. Also, please describe Dhritarashtra's army and the army of the Somakas. Right? So, one is you should know your enemy, because then you know how to fight. You know. As Sanjaya recalled the sight of those troops, he became stunned and fell silent. He drew a long sigh, his mind being overwhelmed with fear, and he suddenly fainted. Vidura said loudly, "Sanjaya, recalling the mighty sons of Kunti and their assembled troops, has lost control of his senses. He cannot utter a word." In other words, it's very great and powerful. They're just thinking, oh, they've got a few guys sitting there with some sticks or something. You know. Somebody's got a pea shooter, someone has a slingshot, you know, like that. And someone else has snowballs. Watch out for him. Right? Dhritarashtra asked a servant to sprinkle cool water on Sanjaya's face. The sight of the tigers among men has filled him with terror. Vidura repeated, "Console him with comforting words, O king, and let him continue his report once his mind is peaceful." Right? Because he's been the assistant and servant to Dhritarashtra. So seeing that army, it's not that they necessarily frighten him himself personally, because being a chariot driver, he can deal with that. But he knows that that army means the death of everything that he knows, that death of the Kuru's throne. It means it'll be gone. There'll be nothing left of it. You know, generally it kind of fades out or some other king comes in. No, this is just branch and root gone. After some moments, Sanjaya came to his senses. Reassured by Dhritarashtra, he drank some water and stood again to address the assembly. "I have seen, O great king, those mighty heroes arrayed in armor like a pride of angry lions. At their head stands the ever-youthful Yudhishthira, who never departs from virtue out of desire or fear. He is ready to fight even the gods if need be. By his side stands the terrible Bhima, whose strength equals that of 10,000 elephants, and who has slain Rakshasas with his bare hands. Bhima brought down the powerful Yakshas on the Gandamandana mountain, and he slew Kichika and all his followers. Right, so Kichika, means they couldn't defeat the Matsyas, means that it's said that they've tried many times. They couldn't defeat the Matsyas because of Kichika and his followers, this 100 Sutta followers. And so they're, you know, very powerful. But then here, Bhima himself killed them all single-handedly without any, you know, without bows and arrows. Right? Because if there was bows and arrows, then they'd think who's done all this. But no, they just came in and just, he just picked things up and just killed them. Like that. Then there is Arjuna, whose glories have already been described, and who is fired with wrath. He is repeatedly bending the Gandiva and uttering war cries. He satisfied the immortal Shiva in a fight and was given the celestial weapons. Next, Madri's two sons, the powerful twins, stand ready with their terrible weapons, breathing hot and heavy sighs. Sanjaya spoke of all the principal warriors on the Pandava side. He mentions Shikhandi, who, according to prophecy, was destined to kill Bhishma, and Drishtadyumna destined to kill Drona. As he named the many great heroes aligned against the Pandavas, Duryodhana and Karna scoffed. You know, it doesn't matter how big it is. They said, oh no, but we're the greatest. You know, oh, but they've destroyed the, you know, everything in that. No, but we're better. You know, it's just, yeah. Dhritarashtra, however, became fearful. When Sanjaya stopped speaking, the king began to address the assembly. Oh, Sanjaya, all these you have named are powerful and courageous fighters, but Bhima is equal to them all. He gives me the greatest fear. Right, because he knows Bhima's going to kill his kids. Right, we are like deer facing an enraged and hungry tiger. Many a night I have remained sleepless, thinking about the furious Bhima rushing at my sons with mace in hand. I do not see anyone in our army who can face him. When wrathful, he is an implacable foe who tears through the battlefield like a tornado. Right? It means when he's angry, then you're not going to be able to do anything. He will surely put an end to my wicked sons. And he means all 100. Seeing him advance towards them, they will meet with a calamity equal to meeting the god of death wielding his staff. Bhima will roam among my sons as a fully grown lion roams among a herd of deer. From his childhood, he has been inimical to Duryodhana and his brothers. Well, I mean, it's because they're inimical to him. Otherwise, he always used to play with them. You know, he's more strong, but that annoyed them and they tried to kill him, so... But they look at it, oh, he's inimical to us, you know, because he would be stronger. Finding the opportunity on the battlefield, he will not hesitate to annihilate all of them. That's because they insulted his wife, and he said, for that, I'll kill them all. Oh, Sanjaya, it is only by good fortune that he has not already killed my sons for the wrongs they have inflicted upon him and his brothers. So here at the end, he mentions that they were wrong, what they've done. Dhritarashtra went on to describe the threat Bhima posed to his sons. Sweat ran down his face, and he clenched his fists as he spoke. Bhima's vow to kill his sons gave him the greatest anxiety. The kings and ministers in the hall looked at him with pity as he concluded his speech. Destiny is surely all-powerful. Even though I see my son's inevitable death, still I do not dissuade them from their aims, right? Because he's just saying destiny is like this. So it means, yes, by controlled by the modes of nature it's going, then he's going to behave like this. But at the same time, he could just say no. Because they all desire to traverse the eternal, noble, and heavenly path, they will part with their lives in battle and ensure their everlasting fame on earth. Right? So the eternal, noble, and heavenly path, by fighting and dying in battle, yes. So from that aspect, you can say that then, you know, they're guaranteed that. But it is the way of Kshatriyas, but at the same time, as has been pointed out, there's no need, because the point is to protect the kingdom. Perhaps our only hope now lies in the support of our three aged wise heroes, Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa. They will doubtlessly repay the support and kindness we have given them by coming out for battle against the Pandavas. Right, so in one sense, this is a very cheap shot here. So then he's now, Dhritarashtra is pointing out how Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa, they will doubtlessly repay their support and kindness we have given them by coming out for battle against the Pandavas. Right? So what he's missing here is he's looking at, we've been supporting them, taking care of them, giving them position and everything, so they owe that to us. But what? But the point is they're serving the crown. Technically, that crown belongs to Bhishma. Like that. But because of his vow for his father, he's not, so he's just protecting the crown. Drona and Kripa, they're the gurus. It means that whatever you give to them, you give in charity. But now this, he shows that he's just a straight up front businessman. We're taking care of you, now you fight for us. Like that. And so this you can see is where the problem lies. Is that, why would he bring this up? This is not a Kshatriya point. This is a Vaishya point. You know, so we can see is how, you know, like father likes son. So Duryodhana and that, how they behave. And that you can see is that in one sense, when it comes to it, they become so overwhelmed by the modes of nature that they can't see properly. So, but it's not that it's not true. They're also going to fight because they are being taken care of and everything. But to bring that up is the point. You know, if they can say because they vow to protect the throne and this and that, and they've been doing this their whole life, why will they not do that now? You know, that brings out a noble, inspiring thing. But just to say, we fed you all this time, now you have to fight for us. That's mercenary. Even though the sons of Kunti are as dear to them as my sons, they will not avoid their duty. For a Kshatriya to meet death in the line of duty is commendable. Like, you know, and he's going to go out there. It leads to glorious regions of bliss. It seems to me, Sanjaya, that knowledge does not destroy woe. Rather, distress destroys knowledge. Yeah, which is his, he's, you know, that's good. As I contemplate the impending destruction of the Kurus, grief bewilders my senses and confounds my mind. I cannot let go of my attachment for my sons, the kingdom, my wife, my grandsons, and a thousand other things. Such blind attachment leads only to suffering. So he knows all this. But that's the point. That's why he should not be the king. You know, he shouldn't be making the decision and all that. Dhritarashtra sighed. Bhishma and Vidura looked at him in despair. He could clearly understand what would happen should they fight the Pandavas, but still he would not save the situation. All he had to do was give his sons the order to cease hostilities, and the war would be finished before it began. Although Duryodhana officiated as the monarch, his father still occupied the throne as head of state. If the king ordered the prince to make peace with the Pandavas, he would have to obey. And if he didn't obey, then because he's given the order, then Bhishma and Drona would see that it is enacted. But Dhritarashtra showed no signs of giving such an order. He seemed resigned to actualize the death and destruction of everyone and everything he held dear. He has so much attachment he can't deal, and he'll just watch it all be destroyed. The two ministers looked at each other hopelessly as the king continued. This great calamity the Kuru now faces owes its existence to the dice game. My son is at fault because he is filled with avarice. This is the work of eternal time. Bound by time, I am helpless in the face of my own ruination. What can I do? Right. In one sense, yeah, you can just go along with it. But at the same time, is you do have a choice. You've set something in place, and that's moving, and you can just go with what is moving, or you can make new choices and start, you know, some other aspect. Right? Like that. You know, it's like you've gone into the living room and sat down, and so you're sitting there, and so you can just continue sitting there, or if you're hungry, you could get up. You could go, you just so the time factor is so powerful. I went in this direction, I sat down, I can do nothing about it. You know, like that. My attachment from the couch is so profound. You know, no, you just get up and go make yourself a sandwich, you know. Bound by time, I am helpless in the face of my own ruination. What can I do? Where will I go? O Sanjaya, the foolish Kurus will all be killed by time, and I can do nothing about it. So yeah, philosophically it is, because it's the modes of nature, that is their character, that's what will happen. So by the modes, they are doing like that. But the modes, they only resonate in people who have that quality. You know, it's just like on a musical instrument. You have a main, you know, your main strings, and then you have all these other strings that are sympathetic strings. You pluck the main string, and the sympathetic strings resonate. So the point is the three modes of nature, they just become prominent at different times, the three modes. And whatever it is, then they resonate in those ones, so those become prominent. So in this case, because of attachment and all that, compassion and ignorance, then it resonates, so therefore they will be destroyed. Yes, but they do, that's the point, is you do have a choice. If you just want to continue on the material path, you can't do a whole lot, because you'll be overwhelmed by your own desires. But if you take up the spiritual understanding, then you can do what's right in God consciousness and move yourself forward that way. You can step out of the modes. Then you won't get these things happening. I will hear news of my 100 sons dying and then hear the loud wailing of women, right? Because the whole palace is full of women. So he has 100 sons. They all have wives. They all have, Only I will be left alive. How will death touch me? As a raging fire consumes a dry forest, so Bhima and Arjuna will consume my army. Right? So he's got this right. But the point is he still can do nothing. That's why then they look at him just, what to do, hopelessly. That's just what to do. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.